This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One of these scholars wrote a book and he mentioned the differences between scholars, and he called this book Kitabul Khilaf, and he offered it to Imam Ahmad and he said, I wrote a book about the Khilaf, the differences. Imam Ahmad said, call this book as the book of mercy, the book of Rahmah. Ud'uhu Kitab Ar-Rahmah. Because what? The Rahmah from the Khilaf. The differences between the Sahaba, the second generation, third generation, and any khilaf follows that methodology is a source of rahmah for the ummah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونثني عليه الخير كله ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله بعثه الله رحمة للعالمين بشيرا ونذيرا فصلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, dear respected brothers and sisters, I'm going to deal with this topic, which is a very important topic, how to deal with the differences, how to deal with our ikhtilafat or the ikhtilafat that we all have experience with. My dear brothers and sisters, the topic can be quite technical, and I'll try to simplify it for all of you as much as we can. First of all, let us start by saying that Allah Jalla wa Ala created this life as a test. This is the first principle that we need to remember all of the time. Allah created this life as a test. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم. The one who created death and life in order to test you. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه. We have created the human being from a nutfa, from a piece of a sperm, and then we made it into tissues, and then we created him, of course, as a human being, in order to what? In order to test him. And there are a number of ayat that confirm that this life is nothing but a test. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, if this life is a test, we should expect controversy in this life. We should expect confusion in this life. We should expect calamities in this life. We should expect all sorts of things. And if this life is a test, there should be a conflict between haqq and batil. There should be differences between people. There should be differences between people. Some of those differences will be major differences, and some of those differences might be minor differences. Now, although this life is a test, there will be people who are following the truth all the time. And there will be people who are mansurin, victorious, as the Prophet ﷺ said all the time. It will not be ultimate confusion. The haqq will prevail. The haqq prevails. The haqq will be known for the vast majority of Muslims. So there will be a test from one perspective, but the haqq can be known as well from the other perspective. And there will be some people who, despite their differences, they will be acting as one ummah, as one united ummah, as we have seen in the lecture delivered by Sheikh Ali Jazawallahu Khaira. So, the differences can be managed. The differences between people in general and Muslims in particular can be managed. The question is how to manage our differences in order to turn those differences to be a source of progress, a source of rahmah, a source of mercy, a source of then this dynamic nature of Islam. How to utilize those differences to make use of these differences in order to make Islam applicable irrespective of the space, irrespective of the time. Which means that let us use those differences in our favor, in the favor of Islam, in the favor of the Haqq as well. Okay. The second point that we need to establish after establishing the fact that Allah Jalla wa'ala created this life is a test that differences in general between people, not just between Muslims, differences between people, my dear brothers and sisters, can be classified as acceptable differences and non-acceptable differences. For example, Allah Jalla wa'ala created human beings and he knew that there will be believers and there will be disbelievers. And this is the major difference between people. هو الذي خلقكم فمنكم كافر ومنكم مؤمن. He created you and among you there are kuffar and among you what? There are Muslims. Allah Jalla wa'ala says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. Righteous people will be in continuous delight and wicked and evil people will be in continuous state of misery or they will be in continuous state of hardship and difficulties. Now, this is a reality that we see in front of our eyes. Now, these differences between believers and disbelievers in the sight of Allah Jalla wa'ala are not acceptable. Although Allah Jalla wa'ala, he knew that these differences will happen, and Allah Jalla wa'ala decreed them, but it does not legitimize for the disbelievers to differ from the believers. It does not give any legitimacy for the disbelievers to differ from the haqq, from the truth. Because at the end of the day, Allah Jalla wa'ala wants all people to follow the haqq. Allah Jalla wa'ala wants all people to follow the main, Allah Jalla wa'ala wants all people to follow the fitrah that Allah Jalla wa'ala created human beings on. And that's why Allah Jalla wa'ala becomes so angry from those who differ from the haqq and Allah Jalla wa'ala punishes them. And that's why Allah Jalla wa'ala created Jannah and created hellfire. The hellfire, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that Allah Jalla wa'ala said, this is my adab, this is my punishment. I punish those who reject the truth in that punishment. So, this difference between the people of Haqq and the people of Batil, the believers and disbelievers, although Allah Jalla wa'ala knew that it is going to take place, but Allah Jalla wa'ala wants everyone to follow the haqq. And without getting into much technicality about this issue, if we understand what is known by the scholars as the qadr kawni and the qadr shar'i, we understand how Allah Jalla wa'ala from one side wants everyone to follow the haqq, which means that Allah Jalla wa'ala wants everyone to be united on the haqq, yet He is the one who created us in different forms, and he is the one who decreed that there will be people following the haqq, and there will be people who are not following the haqq or rejecting the truth. Now, so this is the first type of differences between people that is not acceptable at all. Now, let us narrow the scope. Let us talk about differences between Muslims. Now, even differences between Muslims, they can also be classified as differences that are acceptable and differences that are not acceptable, even between those who attribute themselves to Islam. We know that in Islam, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that my ummah will differ into 70 odd sects. All of them will be in the fire of hell except one. Which means that the differences between those sects are not, or the differences between those sects are not acceptable, are not classified as acceptable differences that Allah Jalla wa Ala would accept. No, they are classified that these are differences that Allah Jalla wa Ala hates, and Allah Jalla wa Ala will punish those who differ from the truth. That's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the ummah will differ on into 70 odd sects. All of them will be in the fire of hell except one, which is what? Which is Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, or the sect that is following the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his companions. Which means that the differences between sects, those differences are not acceptable. Now, we know some of those sects. The Prophet, we know some of those sects. The scholars spoke about them. We have the Rafida sect, we have the Khawarij sect, we have the Mu'tazila sect, and so on. And now we have some other sects within Islam, or we have some sects that attribute themselves to Islam, and their difference, or their differences are totally rejected, are not and not acceptable. For example, we have a sect now that claims that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not the final prophet, but there is a prophet after him, or at least there is some people after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who used to, or who are receiving wahi from Allah jalla wa ala. Now this sect, irrespective of its name, this sect is clearly, or has clearly rejected the main principles of Islam, and one of them is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger. Allah jalla wa ala called him as khatam an-nabiyyin, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed that he is the final messenger, and there is no messenger after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is clear that this sect endorses something that is totally rejected and not acceptable. So we cannot say that their difference is acceptable within Islam. No, it is classified as non-acceptable difference. Okay. We have a sect now that curses most of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, they say that most of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have apostated or rejected Islam after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even some of them curse Abu Bakr and Umar, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they reject the main book of Islam after the Quran, which is Sahih al-Bukhari. And they claim that they have their own imams who know the unseen and who control the world. Now obviously this sect is rejecting some main principles of Islam. And some of those, the members of those sects, can be clearly classified as people who have left the fold of Islam. Now, no one would say that this difference or their views should be acceptable within Islam, and those differences are acceptable. No, they are also classified as non-acceptable differences. Now, Let us come to the sect that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam said that there will be one sect on the haqq. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, who are those? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. Those who are following my sunnah and the sunnah of my companions. So those people who are following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the methodology of his companions, which was explained further in the other hadith, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of people are my generation, or the generation that I was sent to, and the generation following that, and the third generation. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us the characteristics and the qualities of the sect that represents the ummah, that represents Muslims, that represents the saved sect, which is what? The people who follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sunnah of his companions, the sunnah of the second generation, the sunnah of the third generation, and the third generation, my dear brothers and sisters, normally, or the third generation, almost ends by the time of the four imams. Abi Hanifa, al-Imam Malik, al-Shafi'i, and Imam Ahmad. May Allah Jalla wa'ala be pleased with them all. That is almost the end of the period of Khayriya, the best period which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised in the hadith. So, any sect or any people who follow those generations, we consider them as part of the saved sect. We consider them as the ummah that Allah Jalla wa'ala would accept, the ummah that Allah Jalla wa'ala will save on the day of resurrection, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is in general. In the Quran, we see that Allah Jalla wa'ala says, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Allah Jalla wa'ala said that the people will never cease but to differ. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ. Except what? Except for those whom Allah Jalla wa'ala bestowed His rahmah on. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. And He created them. Some scholars said that He created them for ikhtilaf, to differ. And as we said, this means that this life is a test. Or Allah Jalla wa'ala said, وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. And Allah Jalla wa'ala chose the people of rahmah to be the people of rahmah within themselves, to be the people of rahmah, although there is or there are differences between people. So this confirms that Allah Jalla wa'ala is saying that people will differ, and those people who will differ will not be the people of rahmah, but there will be among them the main part of Muslims. They will be the people of rahmah, and those people of rahmah will not differ. Or, as some scholars said, even if they differ, their differences are a source of rahmah. So those differences among the people of rahmah should be a source of rahmah for them. I hope that this point is clear. This confirms that there will be people among the Muslims who have some differences between them, yet those differences can be seen as acceptable differences, can be seen as healthy differences. And those people, who are those people? Those are the people who are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, the second generation, the third generation, up to the four Imam. And to confirm this point, this scholar said that if we look at the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum themselves, we see that the Sahaba used to differ among themselves. Yet, despite the differences between them, they were the people of Rahmah, and no one can argue about that. Let me repeat that point. The scholar said, as a confirmation for what has been mentioned, that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they used to differ among themselves, but they are the best generation, and the people who came after them, the second best, and the people who came after them is the third best, or the third best. And despite the fact that they have differences among them, they were considered to be the best of best, and they are the people of Rahmah, the people of mercy. Which means that the differences between the Sahaba are source of Rahmah, and anyone who follows the methodology of the Sahaba, the second generation, third generation, and the four Imams, can have some differences among themselves, yet those differences will be acceptable and will be a source of Rahmah. I hope that this point is clear. Which means, my dear respected brothers and sisters, that the people of Rahmah can have differences among themselves. Which means that no one should imagine that the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam will have no differences among themselves. Let me repeat that. No one should imagine, my dear respected brothers and sisters, that the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, the mainstream Islam, they should never imagine that they will have no differences among themselves, but the differences will continue to be there until Allah Jalla wa Ala, until the day of resurrection. Why is this? Because the mainstream Islam, or the main body of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be following the methodology of the Sahaba, the second generation, third generation, up to the four Imams, and they used to have differences among themselves, which means that Allah Jalla wa Ala wants to have the diversity, this kind of diversity within the Sahaba, within the second generation, third generation, and within the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And when we see these kind of differences, we see that these differences will enrich Islam and will give Islam its dynamic nature to be adaptable or to fit into any culture, any space, any time. And that's why we see that there are statements from some of the companions and some of the scholars where they used to praise differences between Muslims. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the rightly guided caliph, the five rightly guided caliph, he used to say, and he used to be a scholar, he used to praise the differences between the Sahaba. And he used to say that, I wouldn't prefer to have red camels over having the differences between the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. He was so pleased. One of these scholars wrote a book, and he mentioned the differences between scholars, and he called this book Kitab al-Khilaf. And he offered it to Imam Ahmad, and he said, I wrote a book about the Khilaf, the differences. Imam Ahmad said, call this book as the book of mercy, the book of Rahmah. Ud'uhu Kitab al-Rahmah. Because what? The Rahmah from the Khilaf, the differences between the Sahaba, the second generation, third generation, and any Khilaf follows that methodology is a source of Rahmah for the Ummah. And the Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, he used to say that the Mufteen, during the second generation, they used to give fatwas and they used to differ. None of them used to condemn the other. None of them used to believe that the other is going to hellfire because he used to endorse another opinion other than his opinion. Basically, they never used to feel that others who differ from them are going to hellfire. Yunus ibn Abd al-A'la al-Sadafi, one of the companions of Imam al-Shafi'i, he said that Imam al-Shafi'i was the wisest person I have ever met. He took my hand once and he said to me, my brother, we can differ in so many things and we remain as brothers. Imam ibn Taymiyyah, or Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said, if two Muslims differ among themselves and they used to feel that they are losing because of this and everyone feels about the other person as the person of hellfire, then people will have no unity, they will have no rahmah among themselves, and the ummah will be in a very terrible situation. There are many other statements like this, my dear brothers and sisters. So, in conclusion, the khilaf, any differences that follow the differences between the companions, the second generation, the third generation, up to the four imams, is considered to be an acceptable khilaf. It is considered to be an acceptable difference of opinions. I hope that this is clear. Now, many of you will ask the following question, which is, which opinion should we follow? Should we follow one madhab, or should we follow just Quran and Sunnah? First of all, my dear brothers and sisters, once you say that we want to follow a madhab or we want to follow Quran and Sunnah, I think this is a very simplistic way of looking at it. And this is a non-acceptable dichotomy. As if you are saying that those who introduced the madhabs, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, and Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, they were against Quran and Sunnah, and only those who reject the madhab are following Quran and Sunnah, and this is completely wrong. Imam Abu Hanifa was following Quran and Sunnah, Imam Malik was following Quran and Sunnah, Imam Shafi'i was following Quran and Sunnah, and Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad was following Quran and Sunnah. All or the vast majority of scholars, my dear brothers and sisters, all over the world, if they were acceptable as scholars, they are following Quran and Sunnah. Some of them might have their own ijtihad that might not be acceptable, but generally speaking, they are following Quran and Sunnah. So, what is the solution? Shall we follow a madhab, a particular madhab, or shall we just leave the madahib? And I always say that the matter is totally flexible, and there is flexibility within this matter. You would like to follow one madhab, that's fine, follow one madhab. There is no problem with that whatsoever. Provided that, one, make sure that you are following the original madhab. Yeah? Because there are many statements that are attributed to some scholars that are not true. I remember, just as an example, I remember seeing a brother who attributed himself to Maliki madhab, and he did not have a beard, and he is a talib ilm. So I was discussing this issue with him. I said to him, you don't have a beard. He said, yes, in our madhab, as Malik is, we don't grow beards. I said, ya akhi, never Imam Malik said this. He said, no, this is our madhab. Maybe your madhab is different. I said, you need to verify whether Imam Malik have said this. When I went to Malaysia, the Malaysians, they follow the Shafi'i madhab. And many of them were not praying in jama'ah. I said to them, why don't you pray in jama'ah? They said, it is not obligatory. And that's why we don't have many masajid. I said, yes, it is true that Imam Shafi'i said in one statement that fardu kifaya, and another statement, he said that it is sunnah mu'akkada. But he did not say that you can leave salatul jama'ah. So you can follow a madhab, but make sure that you are following the original madhab. This is the first point. The second point, my dear brothers and sisters, If you know that there is an opinion better than your opinion, then you are obliged to leave your opinion to the other opinion. You are obliged. Why is this? Because at the end of the day, we are commanded to what? Follow the haqq. That's why Allah Jalla wa Ala says, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَإِنْ تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And those verses that command us to what? To follow the haqq, not to follow your madhab. Now some people say, but I might be following my desire. You know yourself. Are you following the opinion or the other opinion because you believe that it is a stronger opinion or a better opinion in terms of its closeness to haqq? Or are you following it because it suits your desire? You know yourself, and you should not claim that anyone who leaves his madhab to adopt another opinion from another madhab, he is following his desire. So this is to... And here I am solving this problem with the issue of madhahib. Can we follow a madhab or can't we follow a madhab? And as I have explained it, or I hope that I have explained it. Now, some people might say that we don't want to follow a madhab. That's fine. If you don't want to follow a madhab, that's fine. But again, make sure that you don't follow your desire. Make sure that you don't follow your desire. Why? Because of the verses that we have stated and many other verses that condemn following desires. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you seen the one who took his ilah as his desires? Means what? He is following what? His desires, or she is following her desires. Okay? Which means, my dear brothers and sisters, that there is a flexibility. You want to follow a madhab? Alhamdulillah. You don't want to follow a madhab? Alhamdulillah. Make sure that you don't follow your desires. I would like to say one more point, that nowadays we hear many views about Islam. Many views about Islam. As I always say, make sure that those views are attributed to the four imams, are authentic views that are considered to be part of the mainstream Islam. Yes? Which means that those views that some single scholars adopt them here or there, and those views are, or those views go against the views of the vast majority of scholars, then those views should be considered as wrong and should not be acceptable. Okay? So if there is a single scholar who said now that riba is halal, we say with all due respect, your view is rejected. Why is this? Because this goes against the opinion or the opinions of the vast majority of the ummah, or even the ijma' of the ummah. Take the example, although I don't like to mention it as an example. Many brothers and sisters ask about music. Sheikh so-and-so said it is allowed. I say, first of all, the ruling of music has been established. And the vast majority of the ummah, since the time of the Prophet ﷺ, considered it as prohibited. Hence, if there is a scholar who says that it is allowed, his view will be rejected, as simple as this. Okay? Now, I would like to say, finally, that my dear brothers and sisters, if we look at the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and how they used to manage their differences, we will understand why Allah Jalla wa'ala considered them to be the people of Rahmah, and we need to follow their model in terms of how to manage our differences, my dear brothers and sisters. Zayd ibn Thabit, Ibn Abbas, they used to differ on many masail, and one of the masail that they used to differ on is the inheritance. Yet, Zayd, when he met Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he kissed his hand. Ibn Abbas said, "Oh Zayd, you are older than me. Why are you kissing my hand?" He said, "This is how we were commanded to respect the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Ibn Abbas used to, when Zayd used to ride the camel, Ibn Abbas, he used to take the camel. And Zayd, he used to say to Ibn Abbas, "Okay, why don't you ride the camel with me?" He said, no. "This is how we were commanded to protect, how we were commanded to respect our elders." Also, we always mention that there were differences between Muawiyah and Ali ibn Abi Talib. Once Muawiyah had a question and he didn't know the answer for it, he sent to Ali ibn Abi Talib and he said, "Please send me the answer, I don't know the answer." And one time after Ali ibn Abi Talib was assassinated, Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu met one of the companions of Ali. He said, "Can you please describe Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu?" And the companion of Ali started just to describe Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Muawiyah used to cry. One person insulted Aisha in front of Ammar, and there was a dispute between Ammar and Aisha. Ammar became angry and he said, "Stop, shut up. She is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and she is the most beloved wife to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or she was the most beloved person to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam." We can give more examples. Look at the imams themselves, my dear brothers and sisters. I'm mentioning those examples so we follow those examples. And you don't think that leaving one opinion to another opinion is a major sin. No. In fact, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala said that it is recommended for some tulab al-ilm, some shuyukh, yes, some leaders, to leave some opinions, some sunan, in order to unite the ummah. Imam Shafi'i went to Baghdad, went to the mosque of Imam Abi Hanifa. Imam Abi Hanifa, by that time, he died. When Imam Shafi'i led the salah, he used to read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim loudly. But out of respect for the people of Imam, the people of that masjid, he did not recite it loudly. Out of what? In order to unite people and bring them together. So my message to you, my dear brothers and sisters, that within the mainstream Islam, we will have some differences. We need to manage those differences in order to make those differences as a source of rahmah, as a source of mercy for ourselves. And once we manage them like this, then we are going to set a role model for the rest of the ummah. In fact, we are going to set a role model for the rest of the people, that those people, despite their diversity, despite their differences, they are one united ummah, one progressing ummah, which is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. You are the best of nations ever raised to mankind, enjoining the good, forbidding the evil, and believing in Allah جل وعلا. We ask Allah جل وعلا to unite our hearts. We ask Allah جل وعلا to remove any kind of hatred or enmity towards any Muslim from our hearts. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.